Our readings for tonight are ones for the remembrance of Ascension Day. Our first one is from the first chapter of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third reading is from the 24th chapter of Luke. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue our recitation of the small catechism with the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. What is the third petition? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that we had this petition of the Lord's Prayer for tonight as we are remembering the ascension of Christ. Because this petition has to do with what God's desires are, what God's will is. And I love how Luther worded it. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. When he wipes them out, when he neutralizes them, when he makes them impotent of hurting us in any way. And that is exactly what was accomplished today, as we remember the ascension of Christ into heaven, where he reigns, where he is fulfilling all of his heavenly Father's will on our behalf. Now, this is not always easily understood, whether it's by us or the disciples. Even to this day, many Christians wrestle with asking themselves this question: what's God's will for my life? What does God want for my life? Well, what God wants for your life is very simple, and it's very clear, and it always has been. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. That's God's will for your life. That's what he wants, and that's what he will always do in your life. You can always pray for that, and you will always get a yes. Because that's what God wants for his church. You can pray for a brand new car or $1 million. You may not get that. But you will have God's will done for you in your life. That's his promise. But we wrestle with that. Lots of Christians do. We saw the early Christians wrestle with this. And when Luke's writing Acts, I love this. The disciples get together. And you have to appreciate what they went through. It was a confusing month and a half for them. They saw Jesus killed. 3 days later, they saw that he was alive. And then 40 days after that, he's leaving. They were confused. They were trying to figure out what God's will was for them, for the world, for Jerusalem. They just didn't understand. It didn't make sense to them. So as Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, they come together and they ask him this: Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Meaning, is it this time that you're going to come in all your glory and all your power to bring God's kingdom right here? And is it going to come right now? Is that your will? The answer was to them was no. Now was not the time. Because what God wanted for the disciples was not to establish some great, firm kingdom of Israel or political power and military might of Israel as a nation. That's not what he wanted. That was not his will for his disciples. What was his will? That he would break and hinder every plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. That's what Jesus wanted. And that's why Jesus ascended. That's why Jesus had to ascend into heaven and to reign over all things. Because it's God's will for you that you would be able to receive Christ now in all the ways in which he's reigning through his word and sacrament. And as the ascended Christ is reigning, he can come down to us in every church in this world. And when you hear the absolution from the words of a simple pastor, you hear the words of Christ himself. And know without a shadow of a doubt that your sins really are forgiven. Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ said he would do through his words for you. That's his will for you. That he'd break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And he does that when he forgives your sins, when he wipes your slate clean. What on earth can the devil ever bring up against you again? That's God's will for your life. God's will for your life is that that font would be used, that we'd have water in it and word, and that whether they're babies or adults, they would be reborn again, given the Holy Spirit, as we'll be doing this coming Sunday for little Prue Tanner, Prue Wilson, Nell and Tanner's little baby. That baby will go to that font and receive all the blessings of Christ, because it's God's will that that child will receive the Holy Spirit. Just as it's God's will that you, who have already received the Holy Spirit, would nurture it, treasure it. Listen to that Holy Spirit as it leads you to Christ in his word and sacraments, because that's where he reigns. That's his will for your life. God's will for your life is simple. God's will is that you would be invited to come up to this altar and to receive him in his real flesh and real blood, his real body and blood, the same sacrifice put on a cross 2,000 years ago for you. He wants you to have himself. He wants you to come up here with all your brokenness, all your hurt, all your emptiness, and to be filled entirely with everything that Jesus Christ has done for you. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our promise of everlasting life. And he wants to give that to you. That's his will for your life. That you would be able to cradle in your hands his own body. That you would be able to receive in your own mouths his own blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That's really what God wants for your life. And ascension today, as we recognize it, even though it's tomorrow, we remember it today. Ascension is that day when Christ reigns in heaven, ascended, reigns over all things in heaven and on earth, and comes to us through his word and sacrament. He couldn't do that while he was still ministering here on earth for those 3 years. But he can now, and he does now. And that's what he wants for you in your life. Think of it this way. Jesus didn't ascend into heaven to get away from you. Oh, no. He ascended into heaven so that he could be even closer to you. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It has pleased Almighty God to call from this veil of tears to himself in heaven the soul of our departed brother John Hawley, who passed away early Monday morning. The funeral service will be held here at Zion at 11 a.m. with a viewing here at Zion from 10 to 11. All are invited to attend. A graveside service will then be held for John at Jefferson Memorial Cemetery.